running in the meantime. Hello, everyone. My name is Tim, and we lead City Hill Church in Imams and Tony, and it really is, it's a massive privilege to be here. This evening, my message is mission, message, and multiply. And just before I get into it, where's Trevor? Trevor, I just had a strong word that you feel like moving to Imams and Tony. I don't know, while I was waiting, are you also feeling it? The beach is amazing. People are friendly. So every church is full of, every church is full of willing people. Some willing to work and others willing to let them. So before we start, I asked if I could do this. The couple that are planting, you guys sitting there, can you come up here? I'd love to just spend a moment praying for you. And I'm sure you were prayed for already before. But this is a massive deal. These people are pioneers, and they're doing something that's absolutely huge. Planting in Tote was massive for me. So going to... Where exactly are you going? Indonesia. Okay, all right. And you're going to start surfing, or you surf ready?
You're going to have to start.
Wait, guys, why don't you stretch out your hands? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this couple. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you go ahead of them as you open doors. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you protect their marriage, their family, their future, their finances. Lord Jesus, I thank you that they've put their hand up to say yes to you. Your way, your pay, Lord Jesus. That's the thing we've heard. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that as they take steps of faith, they see you in every one of them. Be glorified through their lives. May they be anointed for the task. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well done. Well done. That's really, really exciting. Okay.
One, two.
Okay. Come on. There we go. Oh, yes. Do you want to do that part again?
No.
I wasn't flirting. I was just... Okay, you might need to come and help me with this. I'm not doing this on purpose, trying to stand as naturally as possible here. Okay, as a church, I've been praying for you, and I didn't just hear the stuff that was going on here tonight. I've been praying and trusting God to speak to you and to equip you and to inspire you, and there's going to be a God-ordained moment tonight. But as a church, I feel that there's going to be a new season for you, and I trust that God is gearing you up. So they'll fix the sound in a moment, so don't worry about that. And God is gearing you up, so be prepared. And I want to say this, don't just sit as spectators thinking, oh, let's just see what happens. Like, choose not to hear God and say, Lord, I'm all in, let me get involved, I want to back everything they're doing. And you know, trust God for a gear change. There is going to be a season of fruitfulness and multiplication, and things are going to change. It's going to be different. It might be a little bit messy at times, but it's all good. So be expectant. Trust God for that. So getting into my message. Years ago, in 2004, I did a course called Way of the Master. Now, it had nothing to do with karate or kung fu. It sounds like that kind of thing. I'm not sure if any of you have heard of the Way of the Master. And it's not the only way. There was just certain principles in it that were really helpful for my wife and I. So what we did is we did the course, and it's just about starting conversations with people and sharing your faith. And it goes along the lines of this. You will walk up to a person and you begin a conversation, and then you say something along the lines of, you say, do you believe that you're a good person? And most people will say, oh, absolutely, you know, I think I'm a good person, hardly murdered anyone, and you know, like I try and pay some taxes and all that kind of thing. So most people think that they're good people. So you say, look, I'm going to ask you a few questions based on the Ten Commandments, just to see if you are, you know, as good as you feel. And then you ask the person, have you ever lied? Now you can ask yourself, sitting here in the room tonight, you can ask yourself these things. You can, and then the question goes like this, have you ever lied in your life? And the answer is yes. Well, everybody, even an exaggeration is a lie. Right? So then most people will be like, yes, I've lied. What do you call a person who lies? I'm a liar. Okay? Have you ever stolen anything? Ever in your whole life? You know? No, I've never stolen anything. Well, you've just told me you're a liar. Like, come on, let's be honest here for a moment. I took a pencil when I was at school or whatever. What do you call a person who steals? A thief. And some people say a stealer, and then they think about it, you know. So then a thief. And then you get a bit, it goes a little bit more serious. You say, look, the Bible says, if the Bible's true for the sake of this conversation, and, you know, the God of the Bible said that if you look at a person with lust, it's the same as committing adultery in your heart, because God's holy and we are not. So, you know, have you ever crossed that line? And people, if they're honest, will be like, yeah, nah, you know, it's something I shouldn't have done, but that happened. Then you say, have you ever been very cross with somebody? Furious. Very angry. And if most people will be like, well, obviously, you know. Then you tell them, according to your own confession, you are a lying, thieving, murdering adulterer in your heart. Right? And now they feel all relaxed and good about life. So then you say to them, if you stood before God on the day of judgment, would you be innocent or guilty? And most people at this stage will be like, well, no, I don't believe God is like that. And what we've done is ask questions based on the Ten Commandments, right? And then you say, well, actually what you've done is you've broken another commandment, because you've created a God in your mind that isn't the God of the Bible, which is called idolatry. So now you're more guilty than you were before. And then people, all of a sudden, they kind of recognize, oh, wow, I'm standing guilty before God if God is real. And all of a sudden, this thing, and the Holy Spirit starts to convict them. And then from there, you tell them about Jesus. Well, there's good news. All of us, including me, are absolutely guilty in the eyes of God. But if you want, Jesus Christ pays the price for that guilt. You know, he pays the price. And I remember I was in London, and I walked up to this guy, and I started a conversation, and he was very, you know, he's kind of a bit, what's the word, arrogant. And he was, you know, a bit brash. And I remember saying to him, hey, you know, do you believe me? And he said, oh, I'm a good person. And he was kind of, you know, you with some people, they're kind of harsh. And he was, you know, British and a bit. And what happened was, I said to him, have you ever, and I went through the questions with him. And in the middle of that conversation, he just looked at me, and he got tears in his eyes on the street. And he just started to cry. And he said, I never knew that's what Christianity was. You know, I thought it was a bunch of rules and this and that and a religion. He says, I never knew that. And all of a sudden he was broken and he was crying. Where am I going with all of this? So in that moment, I realized, like, that guy was completely convicted. And the thing is this, for us, we need to recognize our sin so we recognize our need for a Savior. Right? And everybody in this world needs to recognize where we stand with our God and recognize that we need a Savior in our lives. Romans 3 verse 20 says this, and I'm going to get into some meaty stuff. Romans 3 verse 20 says, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Unless we recognize that we are sinners, we won't recognize our need for a Savior. So over the years, the method may have changed, but the message never has. The message of the gospel is still the same as it always was. And when we have this meeting, like we are tonight, to inspire you to mission, then what you do is you leave here with a sense of, you know, I've got a message to share. And when you go and share the message, it results in multiplication. And that's my prayer, that's my heart for all of you tonight, is that you're going to get something, the Holy Spirit's going to do something, and you're going to think, actually, I've got a message to share. And as you share it, you're going to see God's power released. I'm really trusting God for this church. I think that there is an incredible season change. God's about to do some incredible things, and I think everybody should be on board. So, question for you, to get you a little bit more engaged. How many of you would love a full understanding of every good thing that God has for us? Okay? So it was three, but now that, you know, you're getting it. If I'd said to you, imagine God came to you and said, I would like to give you a full understanding of every good thing I have for you. Surely you would say yes. Lord, I'd love a greater revelation. I'd love a greater anointing. I'd love a greater influence. And if you're saying yes to these things, then this is Paul's prayer. He actually prays how we walk in the fullness of that offer. He says this in Philemon 6. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. I'm going to read that again so it doesn't just become another thing that washes over. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for Christ. I believe for us to understand every good thing that God has for us, which I believe we all want, it does not happen outside of us sharing our faith. Honestly, that is my conviction. So as we share our faith and others share their faith with us, it expands our revelation, it grows us and matures us. In other words, we only grow and we mature in our faith when we are sharing our faith. And how often, you've heard this, you hear this all the time, people say, I just feel like I'm not growing anymore. I don't know, obviously no one in this church, but in other churches, you know, some people are like, I just feel like I'm not growing anymore. And then some people at this stage blame the church. I'm just not growing anymore. And you think, you know, I got saved and I had this fire and this passion, and for some reason in my life I seem to have plateaued. You know, you got saved, you were fired up for Jesus Christ, you were so excited, and now you've kind of reached this, now I'm just going through the motions. I remember when I was a younger, fired up, passionate, enthusiastic Christian, and I was trying to get as much as I could from as many places as I could, and I remember going to this one Bible study. And the guy that was leading the Bible study, the pastor, you know, he saw my enthusiasm and he said, oh, it's just, you know, it's great you're going through the honeymoon phase, but don't worry, that'll go away. Exactly. And the sad reality is, for how many people does it go away? How many people go through the motions of Christianity and the passion starts to wane, and then we just start going through the motions? And I thought, you know, Lord, I never want to lose my passion to see people getting saved. I never want to lose the excitement and passion for the fact that I am saved, Lord. And then I prayed, Lord, please help me. I never ever want to lose my passion. So I believe, my conviction is that when we tell people about Jesus, it puts, fuel on the logs, or logs onto the fire of our faith. And the more devoted we are to the mission, the brighter we will burn. If you're sharing your faith, your passion will come alive. If you are not sharing your faith, you're going to start to feel kind of empty, mundane, and you're going through the motions. Think about this. Salvation. Caleb Pop, could you please bring me that water? This is Kayla, everybody. Thank you, Kayla. This is her water, just in case you think I let people put the microphone on and I drink. Thank you. Think about this. Salvation is the fruit of receiving a revelation of Jesus Christ. Salvation is the fruit of receiving a revelation of Jesus Christ. Maturity is the fruit of sharing a revelation of Jesus Christ. Right? I hope that you understood that. And obviously, word, worship, fellowship, and prayer are vitally important to us growing and maturing as Christians, but not at the exclusion of sharing our faith. And I wonder how many people are actively and boldly empowered by God to tell other people about Jesus. So for us, according to the scripture, to have a full understanding of every good thing God has for us, it happens through sharing our faith. Next question, how many of you would love to experience the power of God? Show of hands. And may every hand up be blessed, and may God show you his power. And I'm going to give you the scripture that tells you exactly how to walk in that power. Listen to this, Acts 1 verse 8. This is where it comes from, where the power comes from, and why we need it. Acts 1 verse 8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And it's not so that you can go, oh, check it out, I got goosebumps, you know. That's not the point of power. The point of power is something far greater than just, oh, I'm in church and I had a nice feeling. This is what it says. It says, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So if you're taking notes, you're going to write this down. So according to Acts 1 verse 8, the purpose of power is proclamation. The purpose of power is proclamation. We are empowered to proclaim. So if we want power to be flowing to us, power must be flowing through us. And we all ask God, Lord, where's the power? And God's saying, well, you can't have a dead end. The conduit's not plugged in. For the power to be flowing to you, the power must be flowing through you. So, if the power's not flowing to us, then all of a sudden the mission's not happening through us either. So we're not living a life on mission, we're just living a life of meetings, right? I'm not trying to bully anyone or drum this in. Like I said at Equip, the point of the meeting is to equip you for the mission. Not just to fill a Sunday or a Saturday night and just to say, well, I did church. The point of this, and I'm trusting God by the Spirit, that tonight something will happen where you'll go, maybe I'll just tell one person or pray for one person and I'll step out of my comfort zones. There's nothing wrong with meetings as long as they equip you for the mission. So now God says this, I'm going to empower you to proclaim. And then it says this in Acts 1 verse 9. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Why is this relevant? Because the last thing Jesus ever said before leaving earth was, go and tell the whole world about me. It's your call, it's your mandate, it's your mission, it's your message, it's your purpose. Imagine if you had your whole life, right now I don't know what you do, and you've lived your whole life and you go through your whole life and then you're lying there with all your family around and they say, like, what's the significant thing you want to tell us? What's the culmination of everything you've learned and all your wisdom? And you're like, you know, please look after my car, that thing's pretty new. I doubt it, you know, don't forget to feed my fish. I think I left the iron on. I mean, how many times have you been on your way to church and you have to turn around because somebody's left something on that will burn the house down, just to find out you didn't. But anyway, there's all these important matters. I wish I had more money. I wish I'd bought shares in Google. Don't forget to clean the pool filter. All these irrelevant. Surely the last thing we say in our lives is going to be something valuable and important. And Jesus, God with us, who was only in active ministry for 3 years visibly, I should say, he tells us this, guys, I'm going to save the best for last. Tell people about me. If you tell people about Jesus, you will come alive. Something will happen. God will spark something in your faith. In actual fact, God's like, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about me. Now I've saved you so that you can tell other people about me. So the two steps to effective life of mission are this. Number one, receive the gospel. Number two, share the gospel. If you want your life to count and be significant and store up treasures in heaven, receive the gospel and share the gospel. And how many people never ever get past the first step? You know, they go like, I am over here and I want to get over there. They get saved, boom, take a step, and they never walk forward again. They get saved and that's it. And God says, no, I want you to get over there, but it will require us to take another step. And the next step to us maturing in our faith is to tell people about Jesus. We only mature in our faith when we share our faith. I honestly believe that is my conviction. So there are incredible benefits to sharing your faith. It keeps the gospel central to our lives and our churches. Is this church all about Jesus Christ and the gospel? Everything I've heard in worship, the notices, what you're doing, the way you're doing it, and why you're doing it, it's all about the gospel. It's the mission. It's an expression of faith. This is a benefit to sharing your faith. It's an expression of faith, and faith pleases God. Surely we're going to say, Lord, I want my life to please you, and therefore I want to tell people about you. It leads us to maturity. As we go, we grow. It's an act of obedience. It releases the power of God. It gives us purpose. And God says, by my Spirit, I'll help you to get it done. Right? So I will empower you to get this job done. Now, I might step on a few toes, but if I haven't already, here we go. If we are honest, with all of our information, revelation, knowledge, and experience and maturity, are we living out this mandate? Am I living out this mandate? And I certainly hope that this will be my conviction. I work this out. If Tony, now you've heard this before, it's the whole chessboard thing, but it works. If Tony was the only Christian alive, God said, hey Tony, here's a revelation, this is who I am. And Tony gives his life to Jesus Christ. And then he says, hey, this news is too good to share. And then he sees me and he's like, hey Tim, I must tell you what God's done in my life. And I go, well, I need that because, you know, I'm going through this and this. And all of a sudden, I have a revelation of Jesus. There's now Tony, week one, Tony. Week two, I'm saved. I say, hey Tony, let's tell our wives. We go and we tell our wives. Week three, it's Tony, then Tony and I, then Tony and I and our wives. Then we go, hey look, we got to tell a few friends. Week four, Tony, me, our wives, and four friends, right? Now if you keep that going, like I said, like the squares on the chessboard, how long would it take for us to reach every single person alive? Between 32 and 33 weeks. In 33 weeks, we would have reached everybody on planet Earth. Can you imagine? How many people go to your church? 7.5 billion. And I just want to say that I understand. I get this. I understand that there are different religions and there's spiritual oppositions and it's not that easy. But imagine if each person just every year brought one person to church. Imagine your mission for next year was this. Guys, my mission is to bring one person to church who recognizes the Lordship of Jesus, not to poach from. I'm talking about you shed with a friend, they come here, they get saved. Next year, your church will be double the size. 250, the year after that. We need two services and 250-seater. The year after that, hey, we've got 1,000 people in our church. Then you've got two. Imagine each one just reaches one. Yet how often, I'm not trying to rebuke you, that sounds like I'm like moaning, I'm not, I'm inspired, I think to myself, surely that should be the heart. My heart in preparing this wasn't to rebuke you, it was to hopefully stir your faith, each one to reach one, to be a church on mission. This church can double and double and double again, if you just catch the fire of going out and doing what God's called us to do. Anyway, Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20, are you with me? Some of you, excellent. The rest of you, just remember you're going to sleep in tomorrow. So I might drain you now, but you can rest. Matthew 28 says this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, all power, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Once again, power is connected to proclamation. Therefore go. It's an action. It moves us out of our seats and make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. But surely that's the pastor's job. No, it's the job of every single believer, including the pastor. So for me, I don't try and tell our church to all tell people about Jesus without telling people about Jesus. I want to demonstrate a life of devotion to the mission. Anyway, I've heard it said, now really stepping on toes, today's generation has become spiritually obese. We are so spiritually well fed with all of our books, podcasts, sermons, events, and more and more and more and more, yet without any exercise. You know, we just got so much access to so many resources, and evangelism is our spiritual exercise. So this church is going to get fit. Because we're not going to be just sitting, taking. And when we aren't stirred up about what's going on the outside, we become all obsessed about what's going on the inside. It becomes, how good were the songs at church today? How entertaining was the preacher? How comfortable is the venue? How good is the coffee? Spiritual consumers. Feed me, satisfy me, entertain me, keep me happy. What's the common denominator? Me. And I thought this was brilliant. I got this word, and I was like, wow, that's so intelligent. Then you share it with people, and they're like, that's nice. Anyway, when we lose sight of the mission and mandate, even though we have a message, we only get as far as the first two letters. I've got a message from God. I take the first one, M, E, and I stop. I've made the message all about me. And then we go like, Tim came and he preached and I feel stirred. So we take another step and another step. We went from M-E-S-S. Now it's me in my mess. Right? So that's all we've got. And what happens is this. I was like, somebody, thank you. Enjoying my message. And then we go, God is there for me, and this is all about me. And then we try our best, and we end up in a... And then through our maturity, through sharing our faith and acting our spiritual age, we add it to our mess. God takes us out of our mess, and He gives us a message. So the message doesn't just stop with me. Imagine if it's a funnel from heaven, I want it to go beyond me into the rest of the world. And the more pumped we are to go and tell others about Jesus, I honestly believe the more He will empower us to get the job done. And we don't want to just stop in our mess and make it all about me and consume and never go out and do something. It's very easy to walk into any church and find problems. Imagine just saying, hey, look, I'm not just going to watch. I'm going to get stuck in. I'm going to pick up the message of the gospel. I'm going to take it out there, and I'm going to trust God for multiplication in this church. This church will multiply because God is building it. And if you want to be available and used by Him, He will use you. So just recap my intro. I mean, that's not the intro, in case you start sweating, like, please. Please, Lord. I've touched on motivation. And I trust that you're motivated, not because you feel like, oh, He came and tried to stir us up, but because the Bible it commands us to share our faith. Like I said at Equip, it's not called the Great Suggestion, it's called the Great Commission. Now I want to quickly talk about the myths and end very shortly with the method. One of the myths, and if we believe the myths about sharing our faith, then we get fearful and we make excuses, and the one thing God has called us to do is the one thing that we stop doing, and we make this whole thing about me. This is the first myth about when it comes to sharing our faith. It's not my personality. Power is not dependent on personality. Rather, it's revealed or released through proclamation. Scripture doesn't teach us the personality of Jesus. We don't know what the personality of Jesus was, but we do know all about his character. So God is molding our character, but our personality is our personality. And it takes all kinds of people to reach all kinds of people. God isn't in heaven thinking, oh no, I cannot believe it, I forgot I made introverts. You know? God is not caught by surprise by the introverts. I thought about it. Extroverts may be great at starting a conversation, but introverts are probably far better at listening. And I think a lot of people in this world, what they really need is somebody that's just willing to listen to their story. And when you listen to their story, all of a sudden they become a whole lot more open to what you've got to say. So, like the saying goes, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So effective evangelism has nothing to do with personality, but everything to do with trusting God. And I trust that you all trust God. Trust God. Take a step of faith, step out of your comfort zone, tell somebody about Jesus, invite a friend, share your faith, share your testimony, and see what God will do. The next one is this, I'm not adequate. Throughout Scripture, God is famous for using the underdog. So our effectiveness is not based on how great we are, but on our revelation of how great He is. And from the moment of salvation, we have a revelation of Jesus Christ because He's just saved us, and therefore we're excited. And I know that young Christians, they like have no tact at all, and they're so fired up and they're enthusiastic, and they go and tell people about Jesus, and they want to risk their, you know, and they might not do it the best way, but the fire is there. And then over time it starts to go away because they blend into everyone else. And that surely shouldn't be the case. How do we get the fire going again? And you know, that thing, forgiven much, worship much, share your faith much. Let's not forget that we have been forgiven. Therefore, they rely on Him. So, as we read in Acts 1 verse 8, we are empowered to witness. And a witness is something, someone that's seen something. So you young guys, you teens, I want to say, some of you invited friends. I don't know who they are, but the reason you invited your friends is because you care about them. Because you think to yourself, hey look, if I want the best life for them, well, what's the best thing I can do for them? I share my faith. I'm going to invite them to church. I'm going to trust God speaks into their lives. And I think to myself, that's a massive step of faith. Never ever stop that. As you get older, as you mature, you should mature into more skillful approach. Maybe, I don't know what it is, maybe not. Maybe you'll just be as bold as you are now. But keep doing what you're doing now. Let's never get to a place where we go like, my biggest concern about being a Christian is someone didn't take my chair. And then they go and change the chairs. Now that's ruined my whole... Anyway, Revelations 12 verse 11. And they have conquered Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. All of you, if you're a believer, you have a testimony. Tell somebody, hey guys, I want to just quickly tell you, I'm a witness. My marriage was a mess, but God turned it around. And now we're in a... How did that happen? And they're like, well, this is what happened. We went to saw these people and they prayed for us. And these are certain scriptures I applied. I need that in my marriage. Just tell people what God has done in your life. Witness to that and see what God will do. The next myth is this. I don't have all the answers. Like Craig Groeschel always says, people would rather connect with someone who's always real than someone who's always right. And I remember this because I studied theology and I was so amped and I was getting more excited about winning arguments than I was about winning souls. And someone once said to me, if you argue someone into Christianity, someone else will argue them out. So obviously we need reason. It's not like we abandon reason when we become Christians, but we need reason and revelation. So as Christians, we are not called to save people. Nobody in this room can save anybody ever. We are not called to save people, we are called to tell people. Only God can save them, so the pressure is off. And don't worry about God's reputation. Oh no, what if I say something and they think this of God? Say it anyway, because God is big enough to take care of His own reputation. Our call is to sow the seed. There's a guy in our church. He says he went to church. He wasn't a Christian. I mean, he's got quite a hectic story. His name's Safiso. He went to church. He sat there. The guy shared his faith. I mean, shared his preach. And he sat there and he was like, and God started to speak to him. And then the guy said, anyone want to give their life to Jesus? And he thought, well, I don't know. So he left. And then 2 weeks later, he went to City Hill, not our City Hill, the city on Hillcrest. And he said he was sitting in the service. He said he didn't hear a single word that the guy was preaching. He says, but as soon as the guy was finished, he went up and he gave his life to Jesus. Because the guy that shared with him 2 weeks before, that word was just working on his heart. And he said, imagine the previous pastor was hinged on if anybody responded. But he wasn't. Well, hopefully he wasn't. And then this guy ended up giving his life. And he says that sometimes you sow the seed, you don't see any results. Have you guys heard of the George Street Evangelist? There's a testimony that's shared. You can look it up. This guy, he got radically saved. He was I don't know what the word is. Is reprobate the right word? He was a badder. And he got saved. And he thought to himself, I'm going to tell people about Jesus Christ all the time, in any radical salvation. So he went onto the streets, and this is probably the least tactful way to go about evangelism. And he went and he gave people a tract, and he said, if you die tonight, are you going to heaven or hell? And then people would be like, either moan at him or throw it on the floor or whatever. And he would just share his faith like that. And then eventually, the way the story comes about is this guy was a pastor of this big organization that oversaw a whole bunch of churches. And he's sharing his testimony. He says, I've got saved by this little man on the street, George Street in Australia. He came and he handed me a tract and he said, if you die tonight, are you going to heaven or hell? And he thought, he walked away, didn't say anything to the guy, and walked away and he thought about it and he thought, I don't think I'm going to heaven. And then he started to trust God and explore, and he got saved. And then he ended up becoming a pastor, and now he leads multiple churches. He's sharing his testimony in one church. And while he's sharing his testimony, another guy comes to him afterwards and says, hey, I got saved by that same guy on George Street, and I'm the head of some Baptist union group. And then while they're sharing their testimony, other people say, hey, look, I was in George Street by chance. We were going to this one place, went along there, and this guy handed me a tract. That's exactly how I got saved. So they got together and they thought, how many hundreds of thousands of people are we leading in our organizations? Let's go and speak to this guy. So they went there and they said, there's this old, frail old man, right? And they walk up and he makes them tea and he's shaking and he puts down the saucer. And then they said, look, what's your story? And he said, no, he got saved and he was a bad guy. And he decided that he was going to honor God by telling 10 people every day. And when it was raining, he couldn't. When he was sick, he couldn't. But the other days, he made up for it. And they said, well, we just want to let you know how many hundreds of thousands of people your life has impacted. And he said this, in my life, I've never heard of one salvation. He had done for over 25 years, handed out tracts, not one salvation. The point I'm sharing this for is this. You know, we may not have all the answers. We may not see the results we got, but that's not the reason that we share our faith. It's in response to the call of God. So we're not going to do this because, guess how many people got saved through my ministry. It's not about that. It's for him, it's to him, it's with him, it's through him. It's all about Jesus. And may your passion for Jesus, you know, I understand we love the church, but may your passion for Jesus be expressed by your willingness to share your faith. The last one is this. I'll get to it eventually. There was this friend of mine phoned me one day at work. And he said, hey Tim, there's this security guard at the spa. And the guy is, you know, he hasn't been there for 2 weeks. And the other security guard said he's really sick. So he said to me, Tim, well, can you come with me and go and visit him? And I said, okay, cool, let's go visit the guy. Let's go tomorrow. So we planned to go visit the guy. Then my schedule cleared up a bit and I phoned my friend back and I said, hey, let's go this afternoon. So we go through to King Edward Hospital, and I'm not sure if any of you have been to King Edward Hospital or know King Edward Hospital. It's tragic to see. There's people lying on the floors, there's people lying on newspaper, there's hundreds of people in the corridors. It's heart-wrenching. It's this thing. And anyway, so we go through there and we say, hey, look, we're looking for a patient. They said, what's his name? So we only have his first name. I mean, they can't even find their staff in that room, even if the staff have like a full name. And I mean, in that hospital. So we walk around the hospital and we're looking for this guy. And then eventually my friend Mark says, here's his name, Mark. And he sees this man, and this man was a security guard at the spa. Sorry, I was fixing this. He was a security guard at the spa, and he was a big man. And we see him, and he's a skeleton. He's a skeleton on the bed. And he sees us, and straight away he says this. He said, guys, I can't believe you would come and visit me. And we said, yeah, no, like we felt on our heart to come and visit you. We want to just come and see you and see how you're doing and pray with you and all that kind of thing. And he was broken by the fact that we would take our time out to go and visit him. And he cried his eyes out. And we prayed and we said, hey, look, we believe this is a God thing. And then on the bed there, we held his hands and he committed his life to Jesus. And it was a real God thing. You could see there was a genuine conviction. And then we left. Then my friend Mark phoned me a few hours later and he says, he just got a call from that security guard's family. They went after us and he passed away that night. And I think to myself, imagine we said, we'll see him later. We'll see him tomorrow. And I'm not trying to put heavy on you. I'm just trying to say this. Don't wait for tomorrow what God has put on your heart to do today. Because there's somebody that needs to hear the gospel. And if you wait till later, maybe God would have used the nurses or the family or someone else. That's fine. But I'd hate to think that we missed an opportunity to share our faith. So we cannot live with the myth. I'll get to it eventually. The point is, don't put off tomorrow. So the last thing is this, the method, and it's very short. I'm not going to get into a whole strategy on how you should share your faith. I've got three simple words. How you should share your faith. Love, lifestyle, language. Love, lifestyle, language. Love. Without love, we are resounding gongs. You go up to non-believers and just make a noise in their ear. But if we sincerely love them, then they'll be able to pick it up. God's first commandment. Love God, love people. Do we sincerely love God? And if we sincerely love God, then we will love people. And if we don't love people right now, you can honestly say, I don't know if I do love people. Then ask God for a revelation. Say, Lord, give me your heart for people. Give me your strategy, your wisdom, your heart for people. Because if you don't love them, you're not going to be empowered to reach them. Because you're not going to care. So my heart is to pray, Lord, break my heart for the lost. Break my heart for people. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, let us, and it's not on the screens. It says, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Imagine you were willing to say this. Even if it required suffering, it's a joy to reach somebody for the sake of the gospel. Jesus Christ went through the cross and he says, it's a joy because I see what's on the other side of the cross, people being restored back to the Father. For us, it's an inconvenience because I had to turn around or I had to say, imagine we see it as a joy to sacrifice what we've got for the sake of Jesus. So it's love, lifestyle. Back in apartheid days, this is a sensitive testimony. You might have heard it. In apartheid days, there was this... I feel uncomfortable sharing it. But this is what happened. Black people would step off the road, off the pavement, if white people were on the pavement. All kinds of wrong. Right? And what happened was, one day, this lady is walking with her son. And she's walking, black lady, walking with her son on the pavement. And this white guy's walking along on the other side. And so the black lady, she starts getting ready to go off the pavement so that she could let this guy past. Right? And just before she does, the man quickly jumps off, jumps into the road, and as he walks past, he said, morning, sir, good morning, ma'am, and he greets them. And then he jumps back onto the pavement and he carries on walking. And the little boy and the mom are standing there and they're shocked. It's like a culture shock. And they said, who was that? And the mom said, that was a man of God, because he was a what's called Anglican priest, and he had his robe on. And she said, that was a man of God. And that little boy, he said this, when I grow up, I want to be a man of God. Right? That little boy grew up, and his name is Desmond Tutu. Right? What inspired his life to give, inspired him to give his life to Jesus Christ was not this long theological discussion from this great Christian. It was just somebody that was willing to be different, to jump off the pavement and say, in a time that didn't happen, to break the mold out of something impure and bring about the purity of the gospel through a kind action. And that little boy, who knows what would have happened if his voice wasn't there during difficult times. We young people, it's amazing how much manners can make a very big difference to what people see in you. You're just walking along and you see somebody and you wait and you let the lady through the door first. And she goes, what's that? Why? Well, that's very polite. I want to honor God. It's just something about the small things that we do that can make a massive difference. Love, lifestyle, and language. I honestly believe we have to be sharing our faith. Yes, we can, 1 Peter 3 verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. We do. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Oh, the country's this and this and this. Oh, but I'm full of hope. Why? Different God. But do this with gentleness and respect. So I break language into two areas, talking to people and talking to God. Prayer is vitally effective for evangelism. So we need to love God, we need a God-honoring lifestyle, and we need language seasoned with grace. You know, that whole thing, preach the gospel at all times, where necessary, use words. I believe absolutely preach the gospel at all times, where necessary, use words, but it's still necessary to use words. We have to be sharing our faith. Now imagine to end, I say this. Okay, now Tony hasn't agreed to this, but imagine. Imagine Tony said this, guys, for everybody you reach out to and share your faith with, I'll give you 100 rand. 20 people in a day, 2,000 rand. Do that for the whole month, I'll give you 60,000 rand at the end of the month. How many of you would give it a go? I was being so complimentary earlier on. What happened? Now imagine this. The creator of God Almighty that holds us in the palm of his hand, the creator of the universe says this, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light. You are my ambassadors. You are my hands and my feet. You will store up treasures in heaven. You will release the power of God. Now go and share your faith. People's eternity depends on it. We're motivated by what we can see, but we're not so motivated by the spiritual implication of what we can't see. But I'm trusting that by the Spirit tonight, you're going to go, money aside or not, I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. Because treasures in heaven are worth far more. I'd rather stand before God one day and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Instead of, you were loaded. And Tony, do you want to give it a go, 100 bucks each? The youth, by next week you'll have 2,000 youth packed in here. God, do it anyway. He's not going to give you the money. So, evangelism. It's our mission. It pleases God. We store up treasures in heaven. It's how we mature. It carries an eternal consequence. It's the sole purpose that Jesus went to the cross. If we are more motivated by money and held back by fear, then what we need is a revelation of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross. We need a revelation of Jesus Christ. If one of you tells one friend, and one friend responds to Jesus Christ because you were stirred by something I said tonight, I have done exceptionally well. You know, then I believe I have done an incredibly good job. If one of you are stirred to reach, but can you imagine Crossways Church, our whole church, fired up, empowered by God to share their faith and reach out? Can you imagine what God will do with this space? And then next year, why it's packed? Why? Because all of us are reaching friends. And when you reach a friend, they go, how did you do it? And they copy the method and they do the same thing and they pay it forward. I'd like to just pray that God will, you know, the Bible says, and God added then to their number daily those who are being saved. I'm going to pray that there will be an anointing on all of you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this church, Crossways Church. Lord, they're going through a new season. Lord, their hearts to be step out of the boat and walk on water and to be all about mission. And the mission is to tell the world about Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord Jesus, I pray for the youth at the back there. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for those young people that are here for the first time tonight, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you will grip their hearts with the gospel. I thank you each one of them will recognize that they've been set apart for your purposes. I thank you for every person in this room, Lord Jesus. There will be such an anointing on every person as they share their faith, Lord Jesus. They'll almost be bowled over by the power released through their lives. How people open up and are vulnerable and just receive the good news of the gospel. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for an incredible harvest that only you could bring. I thank you, Lord, that only you save people and we just need to be your vessels, tools in your hands. I pray, Lord Jesus, for multiplication for this church because it's your church. You love your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I pray for the Zulu pastors from the Zulu congregation, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that they'll see incredible multiplication in their churches. I thank you for an incredible sense of unity amongst us. I pray, Lord, please use me. Please use us. Please use every one of us. May our passion never, ever go away. May we never come to church and complain about what's going on inside. May we be excited about what you're doing on the outside. Bless the leaders of this church. May they demonstrate devotion to sharing their faith. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, you say to each one, well done, good and faithful servant. With you I am well pleased. May your favor rest on this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.